First, I want to give a big shkoyach again for Rabbi Bistritsky for the tremendous achnosas orchim here, and certainly that everybody is going to remember the roshim and the zichroinus of coming to, as I say, to a place like Hamburg and being able to say that he enjoyed not just the Pesach Kvaris and the Pesach Chaim of the Gedolim that came here, but to enjoy as it is this being life in Hamburg, as it were, and have the opportunity to have the Gashmias together with the Ruchnias. We want to talk about Bez Hashem. We're going to make a stop on the way to the airport at the cave of Chacham Bernais. And this is a name, you know, the statue of this person that I'm talking about is a name, a towering figure that it's almost, it's sad that a person of his stature, as you're going to hear, is someone that certainly in, if someone is not into history or in the general Olam HaTorah, is something that's not really known. And it's up to the point, it might even be said it could be an avla, that people are not aware who Chacham Bernais actually was, Rav Yitzchok Bernais, as his name was. He was Rav here in Hamburg in 1821, and was the man who in many ways was someone who saved Orthodoxy here in Germany. He founded this day school, known as the Torah of Hamburg, half a day Limudei Kodesh. It was a half a day secular studies, which turned into a high school. Hundreds of students, boys' school, girls' school, continued until the 40s, was destroyed by the Nazis. And he's buried in Ohlsdorf, and was buried here in Grundl, as we heard. And in 1937, he is one of the famous Rabbonim that Rabbi Kaulbach brought over to Ohlsdorf. It was Rabbi Kaulbach who was involved in bringing him. What you just saw now, the Kaulbach Shul. This is that Rabbi Yosef Kaulbach was involved in seeing to bring Chacham Bernais to Ohlsdorf. He was the man, by the way, who trained Rabbi Shamshon Fol Hirsch. His training of Rav Hirsch came from Chacham Bernais. And also he was the man who trained Rabbi Zvi Hildesheimer, of course, who founded the Hildesheimer Seminary in Berlin. You have to remember the main difference between Rav Hirsch and Rabbi Zvi Hildesheimer was in the fact that Rav Hirsch, who founded the day school, and also the idea in Frankfurt to have half a day Limud HaKodesh and half a day secular studies, which that type of a combination, it saved Orthodoxy in Frankfurt. But Rav Hirsch never gave smicha in his life. In other words, Rav Hirsch trained Balbate, did not produce Rabbonim. That was not what he was doing. On the other hand, the rabbinical seminary in Berlin, Rabbi Zvi Hildesheimer, trained Rabbonim. That's what it was. It was a rabbinical seminary. Here today you see something, rabbinical seminary means Bochum learning a yeshiva. It's called rabbinical seminary. Nothing to do with becoming a Rav. But the rabbinical seminary meant, the Hildesheimer rabbinical seminary meant, he's training Rabbonim. David Zvi Hoffman, with the Mechaber de Shal Tzechuvis Malamed Lehoyel. And if you look in the Sri Deish, Yankov Weinberg writes that David Zvi Hoffman was Migdoy Lehoy Roash Bedor. And he, matter of fact, he succeeded and became, after Zvi Hildesheimer, he succeeded and he became the head of the Hildesheimer Seminary. So the one who trained Rabbi Zvi Hildesheimer, by the way, Rabbi Zvi Hildesheimer also was a Talmud of the Orach Lener, as Rav Hirsch was a Talmud of the Orach Lener. But who trained them in terms of their abilities, as we're talking about in what they did, they were all trained, both Rav Hirsch and both Rabbi Zvi Hildesheimer were trained by Chacham Bernais. And Hamburg was one of the founding cities, by the way, of Reform Judaism. The Bishop Bernays was born in 1792. In Mainz. So we were in Mainz, so again, we could relate to Mainz. That's where Chacham Bernais was born in. He was a child, Ilui. And in fact, interesting thing, he was awarded the title Chover. You have to realize, here in Germany, titles were just not flown back and forth. You just didn't call some. Today, somebody gets an Aliyah. You call him Marayani, Moira Marayani. We get them till Yedraini. Yedraini is a Marayani. In Germany, it was not like that. You had to earn a title. Someone's called, that's why you say Moreno Rabbi Yaakov Rosenheim. Because this was an official title that was awarded to him based upon merits and schusim that he had to be called that way. This title, Hachover. Chover is someone, by the way, in our shul, Ushi Koenig's father-in-law, his father-in-law, he asks him how you call him to the Torah. He says, so-and-so, ben hachover, so-and-so, in very makbid, because this is an official title. He didn't just say his father's name, ben hachover, and the father's name. So he was already awarded chover, you have to realize, by the chief rabbi of Mainz. Who is the chief rabbi of Mainz then? Rav Noach Chaim, we saw the cave, but now we saw here in Hamburg, Rav Noach Chaim, Tzvi Berlin, when he was 7 years old. Chacham Bernays received a title of chover at the age of 7 years old. So now we know something you have to know about smicha in Germany. There were two levels of smicha. Someone who was a Talmud Chacham, somebody who learned when he got married, was often given the title of chover. We'd be called up to the Aliyah, as we said, be called Aliyah as chover. And it's mentioned that they were very careful about the titles. Unlike I said, like here, that titles are just given by anybody who decides to, but you have to earn it in Germany. And if you weren't a chover, you're not called up as a chover. And if a person, let's say, sat in yeshiva, and you learned after you got married for a minimum of 5 years, you were zoiche, then you got smicha, and then you were called Mareinu. That was a higher level. You call it Mareinu. So these were basically the two titles, two levels of titles, the different titles that people could be awarded in. So Rabbi Yitzchok Banez got the first level at the age of 7. The title of Chover he received at the age of 7. And this would set the tone, by the way, for the many firsts in his life. In other words, being the first, I guess, at the age of 7, ever to be awarded the title of Chover. And also everything they accomplished at a youthful age that one says it almost defies belief, what he was able to accomplish at a youthful age. Not only when he was in his early 20s, he was appointed to the Bezdin, of whom? Rabbi Avraham Bing in Würzburg. Rabbi Avraham Bing, we discussed his personality also in one of the Shabbos Mevorachim Tishin. Rabbi Avraham Bing was a Talmud of Rabbi Nosson Adler. Rabbi Avraham Bing was a Chavrat of Chassam Sofer. Rabbi Avraham Bing was also the Rebbe of who? Of Reb Zeligman Ban Bamberger, also known as Reb Yitzchok Doi Bamberger, the Würzburg Aruf. The Würzburg Aruf was a town of Reb Avraham Bing. The Orach Lener was a town of Reb Avraham Bing. Look in the Tshuvas Binyan Tzion, and you'll find Adoni Moiri Verabi. I asked him a Shaila, he wrote me back, it was a Shaila Bat Shluch HaKan, different Shailas. Orach Lener was a town of Reb Avraham Bing. So when Chacham Bernays was in his early 20s, he was appointed to the Bezin of Rabbi Avraham Bing in his 20s. Avraham Bing, as we mentioned, was the Talmud of Nosson Adler, and he was the Rebbe, as he said, of Rabbi Bamberger, who was the Rav of Würzburg. Now, Chacham Bernays, little Maise, was not only interested in rabbinical literature. Chacham Bernays also was interested in world literature as well, common thing in Germany. And while interesting, while he was serving on the Bezin of Würzburg, notice, he was already a Dayan. He's serving in the Bezin of Würzburg in 1817. He published a scholarly essay in German, Chacham Bernays, which is almost unheard of for what we call an Orthodox rabbi. And that scholarly essay was a critical review of the major work of German scholarship, Gentile, who reviewed it, someone by the name of Gesenius. Interesting. Heard of him?
Gesenius.
Yeah, so Gesenius was the one who...
He wrote an important book only on the topic of the Kiel.
So, this essay for Chacham Bernays, the scholarly essay, went under critical review. So Gesenius wrote a dictionary of the Hebrew Bible. Gesenius wrote a dictionary of the Hebrew Bible and was called the Lexicon of the Old Testament in German. And Chacham Bernays, who knew Tanakh a little better than any German professor, so Chacham Bernays could possibly know it. He wrote a critical review, and the German professor writes as follows, as we said. He writes a brilliant review, which was, again, interesting. That review was published in 1817, and to this day, the criticisms are still applicable. Now, he printed out, by the way, Chacham Bernays saw an essay of this Gesenius in this Hebrew dictionary on Bible, and he pointed out many, many, he says, mistakes. Chacham Bernays put up many, many different, basically he pointed out the various errors that was found in that dictionary of the Gesenius. But Lamaise, In any event, Chacham Bernays was standing, as we said, on the threshold, because this is now a new era that was happening here in Germany, in the history, basically in the history of German Jewry. So he attends the University of Würzburg, Chacham Bernays. He never received a degree. He wasn't interested in receiving a degree. Just like Rav Hirsch didn't get a degree. Just like we said, the Orchlaner had university, right? Also did not receive a degree. And by the way, the Orchlaner also attended the University of Würzburg, that same university. That's the place the Orchlaner went. And Rabbi Yanke Vetlinger, which we entered the cave, the Orchlaner, and Chamanes were learning together b'chavrusa. They learned together in Yeshiva of Würzburg. Interesting. They weren't together by Rabbi Avram Bing, and they learned together in university. No, the chavrusa in the university, but this is them. They learned together, and neither of them ever earned a university degree. So when Bernays was in the University of Würzburg, he studied with some of the greatest professors in Germany, and he studied with a Professor Wagner. He studied with a Professor Wagner, and there's something very interesting, because this Professor Wagner, you have to realize, was a Talmud, and I don't want to mention him, Besmedish, of somebody called Hegel, and somebody called Schilling, and in 1819, he spends an entire semester at the University of Munich, here, where he came under the influence of a German professor by the name of Kalb. Why am I saying this? Because all these professors that he studied under quoted Bernays in their books. They quoted him in their books, and these books can be seen today. And they said that we have a student who sat in our class, a brilliant student, and they quote Yitzhak Bernays as having said this and that, X, Y, and Z. So I just want to tell you, read you, because you have to realize that what a genius this person was. So this Professor Kalb wanted to tell you what he wrote about Bernays. So Kalb writes the following about Bernays. Let's realize. He's a German professor. Look what he writes. His mastery of Jewish scholarship is bound up with profound understanding of world history and politics. His proficiency in the latter was to a degree that I have rarely seen among Christian scholars and have never seen among Jews. In 1821, at the age of 29, so Chacham Bernays was appointed as chief rabbi of Hamburg, which at that time had about over 6,000 Jews. And it was the largest community in Germany. It was his first and only appointment as a Rav. He had many offers before that. He turned them down. He accepted only when the turn came, or the offer came, the call came, they should become here a Rav, become here in Hamburg. And he was Nifter in 1849 as chief rabbi in Hamburg. So now, early in 1821, when the committee was convening, so the rabbinic committee had to decide who would be the next rabbi here of the community. The committee solicited confidential assessment, right, concerning of Bernays. They want to know, like, if by Shidduch, they want to find out about Chacham Bernays from different rabbonim. And Bernays was living in Mainz at the time, as we mentioned. Bernays was living in Mainz at the time, and a letter from one of the very learned Jews was sent a letter on his behalf. It's preserved. You know what the letter was written by? Somebody by the name of Rabbi Wolf Heidenheim. But the name of Heidenheim is someone who basically, shouldn't say this, sort of like revised the Marzer, that's known the Redelheim Marzer, which is a very critical Marzer in terms of Nusach, with the Perish on the Marzer in German. And Rabbi Wolf Heidenheim is mentioned by the Chasam Sofer many, many times. It's mentioned in the Torah, Samoy Shalat Torah, V'Hachuchem, Rabbi Wolf Heidenheim. Chasam Sofer mentions him, and he mentions also in the Shal Tshuvas Chasam Sofer. So Wolf Heidenheim, right, who wrote a letter, Rav Wolf Heidenheim wrote a letter on behalf of Chacham Bernays, and which we should point out, this Rav Wolf Heidenheim himself was a very big intellectual. He was a Chacham, and he learned, by the way, who was a Talmud of? He was a Talmud of Nos Nadler. He was a Talmud, that's why we can understand that the Chasam Sofer also had an appreciation of Rav Wolf Heidenheim, because they were both Talmidim of Nos Nadler. And later he became a great publisher, you know, various rabbinic texts and standard editions of the Siddur and Marzer and so on, that are used to this day in Germany by Orthodox shuls. And he was a master of Digdig, You know, and he was very, very precise. That's the idea of his Siddur and his Mahzer and so on. So when Wolf Heidenheim's letter was written German, right, it was written German, but basically in English, this is the way it read. And it's just, you have to hear what Wolf Heidenheim, Talmud Rav Nosson Adler, what he writes about Rav Yitzchok Barnes. He writes like this: "My friends, you ask. What you ask," he says, "is difficult indeed in order to properly assess Rabbi Barnes, because in order to properly assess Rabbi Barnes, one must be Rabbi Barnes. So what you're asking me to do," he says, "is a very difficult task. My limited judgment and meager knowledge does not suffice to measure his stature. He stands above and beyond," he says, "our rabbis, masters of Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebaalpeh. He stands above and beyond our philosophers, masters of worldly wisdom. And above and beyond our philologians," he says, "and historians of antiquity. It's properly said concerning him," and he quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya, right? "V'novo in lachosh," and a wise charmer. The moment he begins to speak, says Rav Wolf Heidenheim about Chacham Barnes, and that in fact was his tremendous koyach. The moment he begins to speak, he says, a discourse on Torah or wisdom, all become charmed and silent. And then he continues in his letter, "Hearing him discuss Hebrew language and biblical, right, discussions, one believes he's listening to the Ibn Ezra himself. If the discussion is about Talmud, Sifra and Sifri, it's as if he's becoming Maimonides incarnate," as if he's the Rambam himself, when you hear him discussing that. And then he says, "In general knowledge, he is Plato incarnate. Regarding his character, he is pious, noble, and modest. Any community, large or small, that will have him, his good fortune, to come under Barnes' leadership, will not remain isolated. It will become an ear of Embi Yisrael, and all the nations," he said, "shall flow unto it." It's again a quote from Yeshaya. So anyway, with letters of recommendation such as this, it's no surprise that Chacham Barnes got the job in Hamburg. Nor was it an accident that the offer came from Hamburg in 1821, because the 18th century was turning into the 19th century. So Hamburg Jewish community, as all Jewish community in the Western world, they moved from pre-modernity into the modern world, modern period. So it was in 1799, we were today at the Kever of Rabbi Fola Cohen. In 1799, Rabbi Fola Cohen Hamburger, one of the great Rabbonim of the Triple Community, now here in Hamburg, resigned as chief rabbi. Rabbi Fola Cohen resigned as chief rabbi from Alten, Hamburg, and Wandsbek because the governmental authorities removed his right to place Jews under the ban. In other words, because he was putting reform under the ban in Cheren. And if he was not able to do that, because the government did not let him do that, he said, "Then I can't do what I have to do as a Rav." So he resigned. It's a tremendous loichem against reform. So he resigns. The governmental authorities put a ban on issuing a cheren. That meant that the rabbis no longer had the authority to put somebody poshut in cheren. So he resigns. It was a period of Afsoke, where there was no Rav in Altena, Hamburg, and so on. And during that period, a significant segment of Hamburg Jewry became acculturated and sufficiently, as we say, became acculturated that they turned away from traditional Judaism and they founded a new society which would become Reform Judaism. That's what happened. So in 1817, the new Israelitische Temple Association was founded in Hamburg. In 1818, they constructed the first Reformed Temple with an organ and choir. First Reformed Temple, 1818, here in Hamburg, with an organ and choir. In 1820, the Reformed Jewish Committee consisted of 100 families. So we're talking about a community with over 6,000 Jews, of which 100 families have established now becoming Reformed. So obviously, this didn't go, you know, unnoticed. And you have to remember that the kehillah structure had one kehillah that we mentioned many times in those days. He had one chief rov, one avbezin. and all of Kashrus is controlled by the chief rabbi. And here you have a temple who wants to be part of the Kehillah, but it's reform. So these were, very difficult times. And the learned Poiskim, the Moira Hayroa, of the time, Kiveger, the Chassam Sofer, all alive at the time. You have Mordechai Benet and others, they put the Hamburg Temple in Cheren. Put it under the ban. And they used, of course, the Cheren also to put the Reform Siddur in Cheren. The Reform already had a Siddur with changes in it. So these things were put under the ban, as we say, by the Chassam Sofer, B'Kiveger, and Mordechai Benet. Now, since the Hamburg Jewish Committee, though it was a united Kehillah, because that was structured, became obvious that the best way in order to prevent the spread of reform under these circumstances was to elect a chief rabbi who could unite the community. And that's why in 1821, who would have the koich to stand up against reform in a united community? We have to be Chacham Bernes. He was the one who possessed and he was a master of his oratory skills and the super intellect, that man that he was. He was it. And he, as we mentioned, he would turn down before many rabbinic posts. He did not accept it to become a Rav. But it was this one. Prior to the call of Hamburg, he did not accept various offers. But here he realized the destiny, that this was his calling. Here he can make a difference, and here he accepted to become a Rav. So this was his challenge and the opportunity from which he had been preparing for all his life, basically what he was studying for. All these various chokhmas, all these disciplines, was to be able to come to use it one day for Yiddishkeit, and to stand up for true Yiddishkeit. So Amir Rabbi Yisai was Chacham Bernes that would initiate the Orthodox response to modernity. So again, another first, the one to initiate that. Just to mention, why was he called Chacham? He was not Rabbi Yisai, he was not a Sephardi, by no means at all. And the reason why he was hired to community, he was called an Avbezin, right? The point is, that's the usual title, but the community, interesting, Lamaisa did not want to give him that title because they were afraid that he would be too powerful. Interesting. He'd be too powerful and he might lead it in a direction that some parts of the community didn't want to. So all agreed, both, that traditional and non-traditional, whether they were traditional, that they would try to contain their rabbi in a certain sense to control him. So therefore they told him that you can only hire you if you have a title, let's say, Meir Tzedek. Not officially Rav, not officially Rav. They wanted somehow to be able to constrict him, that he shouldn't be able to have full power. So Rabbi Yitzchok Barney said, you know what? I've been living in Mainz all my life. I have a wonderful life there. I can remain standing there. I don't need this position. And Amelie, he said, they wrote back and said, okay, let's see if we can reach some sort of a compromise. He says, we don't want Rav, you don't want Meir Tzedek. They finally agreed upon, which was the title of something called Chacham, that they were maskim to be called by that title. And Amela, the term Chacham was a respectable title because, in fact, it's a legitimate title. Upon by Sfarim, they have it. And that was what he was called by, and that's what he was known by. So, this is Rabbi Yisrael, which is very good. Time is moving on. There's still more to talk about him, but this message, we're going out to see him, Chacham Bernes. And now we're going to look at it a little bit with a different eye, a little bit of an understanding of who, in fact, this man was.
Let's go, guys. Yeah. Take-